we turn our hearts now to the scripture lesson for this Sunday morning. And that scripture is recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew. We begin our reading in chapter 28. Chapter 28, Gospel of Matthew. And we will begin with verse 9. Matthew 28, verse 9, this is the word of the Lord. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thus far, the reading of our scripture lesson for today. By way of an introduction to today's message, and as I have mentioned before, on this Sunday morning, we begin a new series of messages. And this particular series of messages, again, focuses on the kingdom of God, but it specifically zeroes in on the kingdom of God as it relates to the vision that Father God has given to this congregation. And to introduce this subject this morning, I want to take just a couple of moments and share with you about the role of elders in overseeing a congregation such as Jesus' Lord Church. We noticed that as we entered into the time of the pandemic, that virtually all congregations across America, maybe the world, I don't know, but America, and this particular congregation entered a new season of ministry as churches were closed and people were not meeting together. But as we learned very quickly, the Holy Spirit gave creative ways to congregations to still reach out to their families, to their people, and bring to them the whole ministry of the Word of God and the ministry of the church. And then after the pandemic somewhat passed and we here, Jesus is Lord, were among the first of the congregations to begin to assemble in person once again, I noticed that the eldership began to take a much more active role in the spiritual matters relating to this congregation. Especially, example would be in determining after a time of prayer and dialogue, that the year 2022 would be a year that the focus of our teaching and of our life together would be on the kingdom of God. And so as we began the series several months ago, The Kingdom of God, we started to look at the teachings of Jesus as they were put forth in the Sermon on the Mount. And then following that, we began to look at the kingdom of God and the cross of the Lord Jesus. We just completed that series. And now we begin a brand new series, the Word of the Lord on the kingdom of God and discipleship. Now, we have not spoken very often, very much at all, about the vision that the Lord has given to this congregation. I believe with all my heart that the whole emphasis and focus on the vision was tremendously interrupted by the weeks and months of the pandemic and our response to that and seeking to still fulfill our work of ministry. But I want to tell those of you who weren't here at that time that the early reception, the first reception of the vision, it began years ago. It began with, I recall a message that I brought in the month of July. I don't know the exact year, but I remember the month. A message I brought to this congregation, and the subject of it was the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Because we began to discern a real stirring among the people for a deeper and greater spiritual walk with the Lord. And out of that stirring came our Wednesday evening prayer circles. And it was out of the early years of that Wednesday prayer circle that we began to discern that the Lord had a specific vision for this congregation. It was more detailed and more precise than we had been journeying along, at least the 20 years that I had been here. Then as we had to go through those weeks and months of the pandemic, our focus and emphasis on that vision was, it was as if it were set aside temporarily. And we also at that same time, though we were not focusing as much on the vision, we began to discern that the Lord was bringing more and more prophetic words to this congregation. Now, I have sought to share them with you, or the person through whom they've come often would share them. And I have a collection of them. And out of that collection of these prophetic words, I selected one example to share with you today. Unlike most of them, there's no date. Most of these have a date associated with them. But this one I know is of recent vintage because of the nature of the message. And this is the word the Lord brought. I will heal your nation. Not as some visualize, but in my own way. I am the master and ruler of all things. I am who I am. Be not afraid, for all things work out for those who love me and follow me. I am in control of events happening, so be assured that my will be done. Have confidence in my power and trust me. Do not fear as events unfold, for they are controlled by me and are to further my purposes at this time. You will be shocked at what is before you, but lean on me for comfort and peace. This is important that you listen to do this. I am the ever-present help and comforter to your soul. Let my Spirit teach you to do this. You will need it soon, so try to learn this lesson. Now, I can't speak for you, but in my spirit, I witness that this was not just a word from the Lord, it was a timely word from the Lord. Because as this word was given, we were really entering into a greater and greater and greater outbreak of worldwide violence, lawlessness, and destruction. This is as timely a word, prophetic word, as I have heard brought in much time. And so, as we began to receive more and more of these prophetic words, in the midst of all of this, the Lord began calling this congregation to a greater and greater emphasis and focus on prayer. Out of this came the advent of the Tuesday prayer session, so that Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday noon, Saturday morning, and Sunday, there were prayer opportunities in this congregation unceasingly. And out of it also, among the eldership in their gatherings, two things have happened. The eldership has been able to meet more frequently than ever before. But secondly, the eldership has been receiving greater and greater distinct direction as to the spiritual work and ongoing progress of this congregation. That is how, for example, we came to discern that for this congregation, the year 2022 would be a year of emphasis upon the kingdom of God. So we looked at those teachings of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. We spent the Lenten season, the cross, and the kingdom of God. And now we're going to begin a series of messages on the kingdom of God and discipleship. I am so excited about this series of messages because I've just recently begun to dig into where this is going to be leading. And I have to confess, when the elders first requested that we do this, I didn't have a very good grip, very good grasp on where this was going. But as I began to fulfill my responsibility to look into these messages week by week by week, I certainly began to see that this is going to be a very, very, very significant series of messages for the ongoing ministry of this congregation, with its emphasis not upon church or churchianity, but its focus upon the kingdom of God. And I want to share with you, as a proof and evidence of that, there's absolutely no way back then, weeks and weeks ago, when the elders called forth this series of messages for this year, the year of the kingdom of God, we had no way of knowing at that time what was ahead. When we began the series on the cross and the kingdom of God, we did not know where that was all headed. But it was during that time, as we were working through the messages on the cross and the kingdom of God, that the vision came forth for the participation in the ministry of the Ukraine crisis. As far as I know, this congregation has never participated in a worldwide crisis of this kind. At least it hasn't during my 21 years here. And so this truly was an example of the revelation of the Holy Spirit for this hour, for this time. And as we began to unpack the details of how this would work, with the gifts that would be distributed and inviting the congregation to prepare. As further evidence of this being the Lord's initiation, not the church's or the elders' initiation, in the midst of that, totally unprepared, this church received an amazing gift of $20,000 from the estate of an individual who had passed away. Now, he passed away months and months ago. This gift could have come at any time from his passing until a couple of weeks ago. So why did the gift come at precisely the time that it came? Well, one of our flock gave the answer last Sunday. It wasn't until the leadership recognized and announced to the congregation and the response of the congregation to participate in a relief ministry way, way thousands of miles from here, that the Lord, seeing the response of the congregation, ministered to that response with this unprecedented gift of $20,000. Recognizing, again, this was the work of the Lord, as the gift was announced among the eldership, the first word that was spoken following the announcement of the gift, I'll never forget this, we have to tithe on that gift right away. We have to tithe on that gift. And so within a matter of moments, it was announced that $2,000 would be set aside out of that gift initially to be used for ministry. And as the elders prayed, and we recognize that ministry is emerging out of this congregation constantly, the GAP program, Bill and Heidi's ministry, well, it's the Lord's ministry, but they're in charge of it, was chosen to be the recipient of that tithe. Now, all of this is only possible because the Lord, recognizing the heart and the intention of this congregation, made that large gift available, and only the Lord at this point knows whereunto, is that a word? Whereunto the remainder of that gift shall be distributed. But what I want you to see this morning and sense and be excited about, this is ministry happening on the spot. This is miraculous working of the Lord now and in-house. And that's why I said we have a story to tell to the nations or to our neighbor or our co-worker or whatever. So the ministry of discipleship is where we begin with this new focus on kingdom of God and the vision of this congregation. And again, I don't know why. I didn't set the order of these messages. The elders did. I simply wrote them down, and then I had to rewrite them because I couldn't read my original writing. So number one was to be discipleship. So this week, I had to give some serious thought to why is discipleship number one? Why is that the first thing? Well, I believe the answer is because that's the first thing on the Lord's agenda when he gave instructions to his disciples. This morning, I read to you the marching orders, Jesus' final words to his disciples prior to his ascension, Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so make disciples was number one. Baptism was number two, and so you might guess that next Sunday, the focus of our series is going to be on the sacraments. Again, I would not have thought of that, but that's the heart of Jesus. That's the ministry to which he has called us and charged us to follow. Make disciples and to celebrate the sacraments, the disciples through the word of God, the sacraments as he has instructed us to do so. And so I began to ask myself this week, well, how did the early church pick up on this? What were their earliest expressions of fulfilling Jesus' call to make disciples? And in order for you to see that, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we'll see what happened. Acts chapter 2. Now, Jesus has ascended. The Holy Spirit has descended upon the church, and the work of the church, the work of the ministry, begins right at that time. Preaching of Peter, Pentecost, the calling forth of those to salvation, and then the ministry of discipleship initially is described in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Then they gladly received his word, and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, that's Pentecost Sunday. Here's the first word on discipleship. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's teaching, the word of God. And fellowship. And in the breaking of bread. That's the sacrament. And in prayer. So that was the first expression of discipleship in the Christian community following the ascension of Christ and Pentecost. Now look at the results. Verse 43, fear came upon every soul. Many wonders, that's miracles, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. And they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So there's the sharing. There's the reaching out. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. And they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that's the early expression. And so I ask myself then the question, well, that's the early expression, that's what they did. And of course, it is somewhat limited because they were in a time of severe persecution. First of all, by the Jews, and second of all, by the Romans. And so you don't see a great, great, great launching out into worldwide discipleship, evangelism, and ministry. And so then I went back and I said, well, since Jesus spent 3 years teaching the disciples about discipleship and the kingdom, what did Jesus have to say? What instructions did he give? So now I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The entire gospel of Matthew is considered to be the gospel of the kingdom of God. But not every chapter is about discipleship training. But here in chapter 10, Jesus gets right down to the very issue of discipleship. Now, first of all, verses 1 through 5, they're named. The disciples, the apostles are named. The directions start with verse 6. These are the instructions. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, say. Well, what's the message? Well, the message is what we've been talking about. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wow. Well, what are they to do besides share that message? I think you'll be a little shocked at what he told them to do. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have ye received, freely give. provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. That's a little tough for ministers that are looking for not only a safe salary, but benefits and insurance and retirement on the side. No script for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat, that means his hire. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you should go thence. Now, that whole chapter following are Jesus' instructions on discipleship. So we have the early expression of discipleship in Acts 2, but then we come to compare that with Jesus' instructions on discipleship, and we ask ourselves, well, now we've had 2,000 plus years to do what Jesus instructed disciples to do. And so I want to put a question to you today. The history of Christianity, as you read it, how accurately is the church fulfilling Jesus' teaching on discipleship? Do you remember the list? Heal the sick, minister to the lepers, raise the... I mean, that list is overpowering. And so I had to sit there several times this week and ponder this question. What has happened? What has happened? Well, I don't know that I know fully, but this is a suggestion I want to give to you. Over the years, the church has substituted the ministry to the church for the ministry to the kingdom. What we see expressed in so much of churchianity is church ministry and not kingdom ministry. When Jesus said, go into the cities and the villages, he didn't say, build a sanctuary and huddle together. He didn't say, have women's groups, youth meetings, jazzercise, cookie sales, on and on and on. He said, go, and this is what you are to do. Now, I want you to discern the difference between kingdom language and religious language. I'm not here to bring any great discredit to 2,000 years of church history. No. But the danger of raw scripture, taking raw scripture at its word and comparing it to what you are doing, what I'm doing, is it brings a lot of conviction. It brings tremendous conviction. Because I'll have to confess that most of my 58 years of church ministry has been training Sunday school teachers, bringing members into the congregation, making sure that we have choir, youth meetings, ushering programs, all kinds of service deals that are going on. But it wasn't until I was in the ministry from 1964 to 1975 that we ever heard the word heal the sick. We never heard that word. It was there, but we weren't paying attention to it. And once we heard the word, every month on the 19th of the month, a healing service was held in that congregation until I left. But you see, it takes a special work of the Holy Spirit to jar us out of sort of habitual way of doing things to a radical way of approaching the subject of discipleship. We're far more focused over the years on making church members than we were disciples. We were far more focused on the attendance at church services and the offerings and the communion participation than the salvation decisions that were made as people went out and brought the gospel to the unsaved. That's why I'm saying that if we journey through this series of the kingdom of God and discipleship, the kingdom of God and the vision of the church, I believe we're going to be in for some serious conversations. I believe this ought to make our dialogue hour even more significant, because I believe the Lord is saying he wants to work with us. He wants to use the faith and the commitment that's here, but he wants to do far greater work than what we are currently undertaking. And I know people will say, yes, but our congregation's getting smaller. There are less people. I don't believe the Lord gave a certain plan to small churches, another plan to middle-sized churches. No, no, no. He gave one message to the entire church. Go, make disciples, teach, baptize, bring salvation, heal the sick, raise the dead. And that's probably the spiritual dead. But whatever it is, whatever it means, we need to find that out. And so it's a challenge. But today, of all days, of all the days that we were to bring this message, and this schedule was set weeks ago, this very day, the Lord has physically identified aspects of discipleship and outreach and ministry. The service we participated in with praying with cards for the salvation of loved ones, that's discipleship. That's ministry outside. That's following the directions of Jesus. To dedicate 90 crosses and $5,000 to send across the world, that's discipleship. That's kingdom ministry. That's doing the work of Jesus. And I want to say to you today, I think it's just the beginning. I think it is just the beginning. Father God doesn't need 1,000 people to do miraculous work for his kingdom in this day. He just needs those whom he calls and those whom he ordains and anoints, those who will listen and carry out his purposes. Now, I wish like everything, I got a final word. I wish like everything Chris Cornell were here today. I can't bring people here on certain days, or I told him I wanted to do this, but I can't hold this any longer. So when I was reading, as I do every day, the little Our Daily Bread, it was about, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I took my little book and I turned for the day, was Thursday, March 31st. And what is the first word on Our Daily Bread, March 31st? It's the name of a person. And this is what it says. Ludmila. Got that? Hello? Got that? I said, wow. Ludmila, a widow aged 82, has declared her home in the Czech Republic an embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven. She says, my home is an extension of Christ's kingdom. She welcomes strangers and friends who are hurting and in need with loving hospitality, sometimes providing food and a place to sleep, always with a compassionate and prayerful spirit, but she relies on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help her care for her visitors. She delights in the ways God answers their prayers. Now, is that not the Sunday to read this? So I got to thinking, I don't know that we'll put a sign out there, but what if we declared that this congregation is to be an embassy of the kingdom of God welcoming those whom the Lord brings, to whom he desires to minister, and sending out from here, whether it be persons or prayers or resources, because it's all the Lord's work. Persons, prayers, resources, crosses. It's all the Lord's work. The work of an embassy of the kingdom of God in Bay Shore, Michigan. And folks, we are his ambassadors. Let us pray. Wow. Lord, this has been an amazing Sunday. Amazing Sunday. Sometimes, Father, I feel so unworthy to stand here and be charged to bring your word to your people. But someone has to do it. Someone is called to do it. But it's your word. It's your ministry. It's your church. It's your people. It's your congregation. It's your world. It's your vision. We are simply here to follow instructions. Bless this word, Almighty God, as it goes out today. And let this church rejoice that we have been together this day to participate in this work of God. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And God's people said, Amen.